Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M Network. Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper.
Oh, you got to love your rugby league.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
G'day, everybody. Lovely to have your company on this Saturday afternoon, no matter where you may be listening to us up and down this beautiful east coast of Australia. Hello, gentlemen. Ryan Girdler, nice to be sitting next to you.
Nice to be sitting next to you, Tony G. I've got to say, it's my favourite round of the year. I woke up this morning and looked at my beautiful wife and I said, it's my favourite round of the year. And so, you know, we went about our business. It was lovely. It was fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah.
So only this round, is that kind of stuff happened for you?
Yeah. Metro round. And or was it hetero round?
I can't remember.
But it was a great start to the day. How are you, Tony, after the Dragons' performance last night?
Yes, I'm stuck somewhere in the 80s as we speak. Yeah, the Dragons, 26-24, they went down to the Rabbitohs. You know what? I'm going to say it right here right now. I'm happy. I'm happy that the Dragons lost last night.
Why? They're your teammate.
Yeah, I know they're my team.
Oh, because you've got another team in the Swannies and they won.
No.
He's off the bandwagon. I'm talking
completely and utterly about the Dragons. They're my team. I care passionately about them. It hurts desperately when they lose. Not now, because I can put that pain away. I don't have to think about them.
Why?
And because they're not going to make the finals. And what's more, who wants your team to just fall over the line and get in the finals just so you can extend your pain for 1 week? That's all it's doing.
Haven't you heard?
If we get to the finals,
everyone
it's one
knows.
More week.
What
of
do
pain.
All the coaches say at finals time?
Yeah. Oh, it's a new competition.
It's a new competition.
Yeah. So what? We still come last in that competition. I don't like the new competition. In fact, I'm proposing right here, right now, and look, 133353. If you agree with me, and I know many people will. The phone lines have already lit up. I haven't even said what I'm going to say. If I think we should go back to a top four only.
Top four. Was it top five weeks ago? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Weeks ago, I could have been on holidays, not worrying about it, not caring.
You've been drinking the Kool-Aid again, Tony. There's 16 teams in the comp.
Yes.
How can you have a top four?
Because the bottom four and the top eight don't count, really, do they? When was the last time one of them won?
But at some stage, someone from the bottom four has got to win.
AFL, they did, I know.
Western Bulldogs,
yeah, but there was a week between the end of the season proper,
still?
Before
what
the
about,
final started.
If we didn't have a top eight, Tony, we wouldn't have that wonderful run. Parramatta Eels, I mean, they're the talk of the town at the moment. 2009, they came in the bottom four and almost went on to win the grand final.
They knocked your Dragons out.
Sorry, did I bring that up again?
I appreciate that. Yeah. Thanks for that.
Once again, you're defeating me with logic. Logic, Ryan Girdler.
Yeah.
I don't like it when you use that. Yeah, I stand corrected. I love the top eight.
But you've put the red pen through St George Illawarra. The Dragons can't make the finals.
I put the red pen through them after they were beaten by Newcastle last week.
Wow.
Because you can't lose that game.
What about sticking solid, though?
Yeah.
No.
Sometimes you got to just stick solid.
No, you don't.
He does. West Tigers,
mate. I've been through years of pain.
No, there's a difference between sticking solid and being completely stupid. Honestly.
So you're saying I'm an idiot.
Right. Yeah. Independent of this conversation.
He's not the only one.
Not the first.
Hey, Tony, so if the Dragons go on a little... Run now. Remember the Sharks last year. There's three steps left. So if they go on a little run now and they win their next four in a row and blast their way into the finals, will you get the flag back out of the cupboard?
If they win,
of course he will.
Will you get the flag back out of the cupboard if they make a little run now and get into the eight?
A little bit. No. Because look, if they win all their remaining games, they still only sneak into eighth position. In all likelihood.
Well, it depends.
So my belief is, and I'm sorry, Mary McGregor, I'm sorry, Gareth Widdop, and all of the team who I love dealing.
Well, it feels like they should be apologising to you, too.
Yeah, the way you're carrying on.
Correct. But even if they do just slide in over the line and get to the eighth, I don't believe they are going to trouble anybody in the eighth.
Not.
So therefore, I have another week of caring too much and being hurt too much.
Mm.
So in my fragile state of mind at the moment...
Yeah.
I'm just happy that they lost because I don't have to care.
But you know what the best thing, Tony, is? It hasn't been all bad this weekend because tomorrow night, the whole Triple M NRL team are going for a beer together after the Sunday show.
Yeah, how good's that?
Who is?
the whole Triple M.
And we all got an email through the week from our executive producer, Buzz,
came out and said,
boys, we're going to get together after the show on Sunday. And we all got an email, Tony, didn't we?
I got a text too, I think.
You get a text
and
a text?
And I bumped Buzz when we were having a beer last week. And
I got a text and an email.
And so, Tony, tomorrow night you can let it all out to the group.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, I'm just going through my emails now. I haven't got an invitation to this event.
Oh,
what?
I'm not.
It's invited. An oversight. It's an oversight. He hasn't deliberately left you.
Maybe we're talking about next year.
Buzz is a people person, mate. Yeah. There's no way he's left you.
He knows you're a big part of Triple M, mate.
See, he's already instigated the top four only, and apparently I'm just outside of it. It's Saturday Triple M.
You're the Dragons.
We do it for Brian.
Even Brian Fletcher, I think, got an email.
Oh, stop. He filled in once. He was here once.
Couple of times.
Oh, he was so good.
I think Blocker might be coming.
Oh, buzz it. Oh.
Saturday, and all right, we'll come back and talk less
I think
about
Adam McDougall's even coming.
Stick around. Ah, yes. Triple M rocking the footy with a bit of Iggy Pop and Candy right there. Love to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. It is retro round. Retro, of course, when that time when people were well-mannered and polite to each other and would invite you to a social function if you happened to work within the company that was having.
Yeah, before emails, Tony, when they come and they'd call you up on your home telephone and say, hey, Tony, what are you doing on Sunday?
Would you like to join the team? Of which, you know, you're a part for just a little shandy afterwards. For all,
A shandy.
For all, thank you for all the work and the hours you've put in. But no.
You're a big part of this team, mate.
Yeah.
What else
Why did Brett Finch get invited?
Because he's funny, mate.
Fair enough. 26-24 as a look at the Taipower scoreboard. The Rabbitohs over the Dragons, as we said, a crucial game for St George Illawarra at beautiful Sydney Cricket Ground. Gerds, you were at the ground itself.
Yeah.
Was it a picture?
Yeah, well, look, not a lot of people there, 6 o'clock game, but it's always a beautiful ground to call the footy from and go and watch a game at. But I enjoyed the game. I sort of went in there and thought that didn't have high expectations. South coming off four losses in a row, and we know what sort of form the Dragons are in, so I just thought it might be a bit of a dour affair. But both sides went there, threw the football around, controlled the footy pretty well, and South got out of trouble right on the bell with some really nice, set pieces that came together better than I think they've come together all year for South Sydney. You know, some of the cohesion through their halves and Johnston at fullback. Came up with some big plays at the right moment, and the Dragons just, they had the game. It was 10 minutes to go. They were 14 up. Frizzell comes off the field. He still didn't look right. They lost Dugan early. They played some pretty good footy during patches of it, but they just weren't playing for 80 minutes, and then they almost got out of trouble. I thought that, that Tarek Sims was almost over the line, and they did really well to get themselves back into a position to almost win the game. But South Sydney, you've got to give them credit. They were resilient. They haven't got a lot to play for, but they've got some busted guys that are turning up each week, and they're building something for next year, and they put in a really good performance.
Hoops, do we know how badly that ankle is for Josh Dugan?
No, we'll get onto it, Tone. We'll find out for you. They had a crack. The
syndesmosis,
Dragons,
Tony.
Syndesmosis.
Yeah.
High That's ankle sprain. Weird.
Okay.
Yeah. They had a crack, the Dragons. I thought they had a red hot crack, and I thought right at the end, as you just touched on, I actually thought they were going to get away with it. Tarek Sims, gee, he was close to going overtone. But, Gerds, I was going to look, where has it gone so pear-shaped for the Dragons? Because they started the season brilliantly. They were playing that power game, offloading, and a lot of second phase and not so much structure as what they have played previously. And they looked great, and Tone was on the bandwagon. Everything was flying.
Yeah.
And then it's just the wheels have fallen off.
I think they still do it in patches, Hoops. They go back to doing what they did really well at the start of the season. But if you're a coach going into the second half of a season, you're playing the Dragons again, what do? You compress your defence up and you make them play a game in which they're not comfortable, which we all have seen over the last couple of years. They don't play lateral footy really well. They did it on occasion last night, but generally they're a good side at having their big outside backs going forward, as you said, offloading, and on the back of that momentum, Widdop running, playing heads up footy, getting the ball where it needs to go, putting on the big play, and then McCrone obviously, just dabbing one in the corner or trying to get a repeat set. That's what they're really good at. But the coaches obviously worked that out. They changed their plan when they came up against the Dragons. And then the Dragons, I think, there's still a little bit of damage there from the last couple of years. I still think it's easy for them to fall back into that mindset where they play without confidence, and as soon as things aren't going their way, I just don't know if they've overcome a couple of those hurdles where last year their attack was really poor, and this year when they were forced into playing that style, again, they lost their confidence and they just couldn't come up with the right play at the right time, and They just got run down by better sides.
During the lapse when it began in the middle of the season, after they'd started so strongly, as you mentioned, Hoops, that power game, that can also be high attrition. So I thought maybe, you know, they need to have a bit of a, you know, ease off a bit and then come back in it. And they seemed to do that when they beat Manly. But you're right. Suddenly, it's not working for them, Dill, is it?
Well, no, it's not. No, look, one of the things that the boys were talking about, their outside backs were really good in the first half of the season.
Yep.
Tim Laffey, Nana McDonald, but they're making too many mistakes. I know they can carry the ball, but it's about selection. If you look at Jordan Rapana now, he used to do that a lot. You know, it's a bit of rocks and diamonds, Sean Kennedy-Dale stuff. But now, mate, they just keep trying to push the pass all the time. You don't need to do it. They make 15, 20 metres sometimes with those runs. Just take the tackle. You got really good forwards through there. Let them, you know, go through the middle. And then Gareth would have even... You know, Gareth tries really hard, but sort of that game management, I've seen him kick left foot a few times. You know, sometimes you don't have to go for the big play. That's a fancy play that you don't have to. And also, I reckon, when a couple of the boys are off contracts, you sort of play at a level where you sort of know you're playing for your future. Sometimes when you get that sorted, I'm not saying, you know, but sometimes you can just fall into a bit of a comfort zone then, okay, you know, we're travelling well, everything's going good, how good's this? Sometimes you're not all, you know, you're not all on the same page.
We all spoke about it last week, Tone, before they lost to the Knights, and we all tipped the Dragons and said, yeah, look, if they can't beat Newcastle,
yeah,
then they can't make an impact in September. Yep. As harsh as it sounds, yep, to lose to the Knights,
yep,
and then to lose to South the way that they did last night, even if they do get their Tone, they're not really going to endanger a firing much.
Making the numbers,
that's,
yeah,
what I'm saying. Yeah. That's exactly right. That's the sad part of it. For South Sydney, of course, they've been in the position now for a little while that their dream of playing in finals footy this season was kind of dashed, yet they came up with a great performance last night. Sam Burgess spoke to Triple M after the game.
Sam Burgess, tough night at the office.
Yeah, it's always a tough game in the NRL. It was a great game. Both teams completed very well. So it was a good game. Some scrappy moments, but I think some good points scored in the end.
It's an amazing venue to play at, but gee, you've had many adventures here, haven't you? You went to hospital last time, sin bin tonight.
Yeah, I've had a few things over the years. We played some fantastic games on this ground in my career at South Sydney, so another one to the list tonight. Last couple of minute try to get the victory, and I must congratulate young Campbell Graham on debut. I thought he's very strong for us out the back, and you know, he's got a great career in front of him.
Yeah, you might be playing against him in the World Cup. Apparently Scotland want to call him up. Are you're a bit battered and bruised. You're going to be okay for October, November, December?
Yeah, there's plenty of time between now and then. I'll get some chance to rest at the end of the season, so I'll be right come that time, but maybe too soon for Campbell. I might tell him to rest out if he's playing against England.
Thanks for joining us.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks. Sam Burgess speaking last night. Campbell Graham, and I think he was doing his trial HSC, and so didn't even get too much training during the week this week, and out he comes, runs out in the Sydney Cricket Ground playing game of footy. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, there's not much of him. It's funny, my young bloke brought up with me a couple of days ago, because he played against him last year and that, and just for those young kids, even for Madge McGuire to take a punt, they've had a few young boys come through, but that young kid there, and that's a confidence, I suppose, that the coach is having some of these young players coming in now, you know.
Yep.
And they also won the 20s too yesterday, the Bunnies, so it wasn't good for the Dragons.
I think they were actually keen to play Campbell Graham earlier this year, but I don't think he was 18 yet.
Okay.
So they couldn't, yeah, with the new rule that's come in, you have to have turned 18 and celebrated your birthday. So they've certainly got big raps on him.
Yeah.
And you're right, Tony, he's currently sitting the HS.
There's not much of him, is there? But,
when
he fills out, he's going to be a big boy.
That's right. Well, he's only young, so you'd think he's still got plenty of development, a couple of off-seasons under the belt.
Yeah.
He might end up looking a little bit like yourself.
Oh, please, hopefully not that big, yeah.
Have either of you two legends run out and played on the Sydney Cricket Ground?
No, I haven't, unfortunately.
Did you? Mate, I'm shattered. I've played four charity games of cricket on there, but I've never played a rugby league game on there. I'm shattered.
Speaking of young players who have impressed this season, Angus Crichton has been sensationally stepped up. What a back rower for the future. Well, in fact, for right now, this kid is. He also spoke to Triple M after the game. Let's have a listen.
Angus, when that goal went over, the bench over here just jumped for joy. It's obviously an enormous sense of relief after a tough month.
Yeah, mate, you said it there. It's been a tough last couple of games for us. It's been a tough month. We've been struggling to find the win each week, and to finally get that win, it's a massive relief, and it's just a great feeling. It's a lot of hard work that goes into it, and now it's paid off tonight.
What about yourself? You're playing wounded?
Yeah, mate, I'm pretty battered and bruised right now. Got a sore foot, couple of sore hands and a sore hip, so I just got to rest up over this weekend. We've got a couple of days off, so I get my body right for next week.
You lost your skipper for 10 minutes and you sort of battened down the hatches and held him out.
Yeah, mate, it's always tough when you lose a player, but it's a good test of character for our side, and especially on a goal line D, we really had to dig deep there, and we're a man down, so we've always got to work a bit harder. So it's a good test of character, and yeah, a good little challenge for us.
Been a tough year for South, but maybe the biggest year of your life.
Yeah, it's been a pretty big year for me. Obviously, just getting a few games back to back, it's been really enjoyable for me myself. Tough in the way that we haven't won as many games as we would have liked to, but I guess we've got a big pre-season next year and building for 2018.
Thanks for joining us, Hank.
Cheers, mate.
Angus Crichton there speaking after the game last night. He speaks very well. I think a former Australian schoolboy rugby union player. He talks about playing wounded there, Gerds. Why? I mean, South Sydney, why are they playing guys who are wounded, given that they can't make the finals?
Because the guys probably want to play, Tony, I would imagine. I mean, that's why you play the game. It's because you really love what you do. And so if you've got an injury that's going to keep you out of a game, well, then you're sort of counting down the games that you're out and you can't wait to get back in. It's irrelevant where you are really on the ladder. For players, I mean, they're going to try every week regardless, and they've got one eye on the table and they want to be making the finals, but mainly they just want to be getting themselves ready for every weekend to do what they love, and that's play footy, and that's why these guys just keep playing with the pain.
Interesting question, Tone, because some clubs, like I know I look at the Sydney Roosters, and with their captain Boyd Cordner, or their co-captain, obviously he and Jake French share that role together, they've taken a real approach with caution. So Boyd played in State of Origin, obviously he had to really push himself to be able to get right for that third match, but we haven't seen him since. Yep. And he won't play this weekend. We think he'll most likely come back next weekend. So they're taking a real safety first approach with caution, thinking of the bigger picture, certainly thinking of the big end of season games. But I must say, it does surprise me with South. Like Sammy Burgess last night, we know how tough he is. He played in that grand final with that busted cheekbone, and he will be remembered as one of the toughest players who's ever played the game. But at the moment, he's playing with busted ribs. They can't make the finals. I don't understand that.
I don't get it either. But is there a sense, Gerds, and you've played in a premiership winning team, does that premiership start the year before?
Well, look, there's a lot of young guys coming through at the moment. Without Sam, but I think Sam actually realises how important he is to the team on and off the field. You know, and he loves that club, and you can tell by the way that he plays every week. And imagine if he wasn't playing at the moment. They've had four losses in a row. Imagine if all of a sudden Sam Burgess doesn't start turning up to training, and all of a sudden he's given a rest by the coach because of his ribs.
About 6 hours.
Yeah, but exactly. Well, they don't win, and that's the thing, and they don't have moments like last night. And Sam's a paid professional, and he might be playing in a little bit of pain, and it might be, you know, beneficial to have a couple of weeks off. But South Sydney in a position to do that at the moment? No, because they need to win footy games, and they do that.
But why do they
need
to win? Like the argument about why they need to win games, they can't make the finals, good.
No, but I think it comes back to I think your sense of responsibility as a player. You know, you're seeing the boys. I think even Crichton, I think he's got a fracture.
He's got a stress fracture in his foot. He's been playing with it for 6 weeks.
But it's
or
up
more.
To him. Even the coaching staff, even the interview that I said, it's up to him whether he plays or not. Sometimes you want to keep playing because he hasn't had a full season. So I think he wants to get through the season. And I've got to tell you, he's going to be a future captain of an NRL club. And I reckon the Bunnies, mate, they've got the right man for the job. And in the years to come, the way that he controls things on and off the field, I've met him a couple of times off the field doing different things, and I'm so impressed by the young bloke.
Yeah.
He's so so ahead of his time. You know, he's such an old.
It's smart recruitment. By South. They actually specifically went away from looking at rugby league juniors and went, well, let's go a little bit outside the box. We'll go and look at rugby union.
Yeah.
And they spotted him. I think he went to Scots College. He was playing. He was a standout at schoolboy level. And so they signed him up when he was only 16, 17.
All right. Well, there's some good signs for the future for the Rabbits there after that win. Again, looking at that Tyre Power scoreboard, 26-24. The other games already played this week, the Eels and the Bulldogs. The Doggies, just depressing for those fans as well. 20-4. The Eels, who are a good story for season 2017. No doubt about that. They are in the finals for the first time since 2009. How far and how deep they can go, that's yet to be discovered. But you'd have to have plenty of optimism if you're a blue and gold supporter. The Storm, who have been sensational all year, too good for the Cowboys. Bit of controversy in that 26-8 win for the Storm so far as Paul Green, the coach of the Cowboys, is concerned. We're going to get to there. We're going to get to Desi Hasler. We're going to get to a whole range of things for you over the next little while. We have to share on Saturday, Triple M NRL for Bryden's Lawyers.
Triple M rocks the NRL for Bryden's Lawyers. Protecting your future.
Oh, what a tackle.
Beautiful tackle. Triple M rocks the footy.
Costello will join us, of course, at 2:30, half an hour away from kickoff. 3 o'clock this afternoon, the Knights taking on the Warriors at McDonald Jones Stadium. Can the Knights continue
two in a row?
Yeah. Rolled the Dragons last week at home, and they stay there in beautiful Newcastle. Can they get the job done against the Warriors? I have a feeling they can win.
I think they can too.
Yeah,
I'm on the Knights bandwagon.
You on the bandwagon?
Yeah, sure. I think they'll win today.
Yeah,
we are all on the Knights bandwagon. I've always been a Newcastle boy.
Yeah, you have.
Always.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, we have.
Dragons was just an accident. It didn't really mean anything to me.
Paul McGregor listens to this show, but
no,
geez, you can flip and flop.
I apologise.
They call you flip flop.
A little bit they do. We're going to get to all those other games to have a look at as well. The feeling inside the dressing room in the Bulldogs game when they were rolled by the Eels can't have been too good, certainly not for Des Hasler. There's also, and I want to get to this issue, I know that Paul Kent in Sunday Triple M NRL tomorrow will have a rather large crack at it. I'm talking about the salary cap. Reports I read today, apart from Kenty's column, is also in the Herald, is that Canberra Raiders chief executive Don Ferner says all these salary cap issues and the question marks that surround it is making it difficult for clubs to get their signings and their roster to right, to know exactly how much money they're able to spend. Obviously, it's kind of moving. It's a whole moving picture. Could be $9.2 million for that 30-man squad. Could be as low as 8.8.
No, I don't reckon it'll get as low as 8.8.
Some clubs working on $10 million.
I reckon it'll land on around 9.2, or maybe they might
including
push it as high as... I'm not sure of all the technicalities around it at the moment.
The integrity fund, the $400,000.
Well, that's not that. The car loans and the integrity.
I'm not sure all of those things.
It's under $1 million worth of additional funding.
You run your own business, don't
that
you?
That will be taken out of the salary cap. So it could get down hoops to basically $8.5 million just for the players.
In which case, there'd be a lot of clubs who would be thinking, well, what are we going to do? And that's the story, and I'm sure Paul will have more details on his take on it.
Sure.
That plenty of clubs would then be in the position of, well, we've got this roster, we're going to have to lose some of these guys from it. What's going on at the Bulldogs? Are there movements within that place?
Well, the Bulldogs have been in a jam all season because they went and bought Kieran Foran and Aaron Woods, and those contracts have been provisionally registered. Obviously, we don't know exactly where the salary cap is going to land at this point in time. I think it'll be about 9.2, maybe as high as 9.5. Not sure of all the technicalities and asterisks and fine print around the detail and where that will land. That's what they're still thrashing out. But for the Bulldogs, they were budgeting, I believe, for around a $10 million cap, and so that's why they went out in the market and bought those players. But the biggest issue for the Doggies is they've got some big-name players on back-ended contracts. Their skipper, James Graham, is one, both the Morris brothers, Josh and Brett, and also Greg Eastwood. And so they're in a real jam because if it lands at around anywhere between 9.2 and 9.5 as it sits at the moment, I think the Doggies would be slightly over. So they're trying to shuffle players as we speak and to move players on. And that's, I think it's having an impact to a degree on their football on the field, because it can't be a solid quality environment to want to play your best.
I'm sure those back-enders ended contracts seem like a good idea at the time, but at some point the back end of that contract's going to come back to bite you on the ass, and we've seen it happen so many times at so many different clubs. You would think now that they would be onto it and they would sort of start giving players, you know, their value at the time when they try and get them into the club, as opposed to what's going to happen in the future.
As good a coach as Desi Hasler is, he's won two competitions, no questioning. He'll be remembered as one of the great coaches. He's an innovator. He's, you know, always willing to try different styles of things in terms of the brand of footy that his sides play. But he did this at Manly. He back-ended contracts and it jammed them. And he's now done the same thing at the Bulldogs. So I reckon Des has got his biggest challenge as a head coach right now, trying to fix the mess that is the Bulldogs.
And then the other night, talking about trying to fix it, putting Chase Stanley at 5'8 when you got Frawley and that there, and, you know, Leeshaw, I can understand him not giving Leeshaw a run and stuff. But, mate, Chase Stanley's not a 5'8". In those conditions, you need someone to take control there. Chase Stanley wasn't your man. Did you watch the game the other night?
Of course, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it was tough. Parramatta just seemed like they had the ball. The possession leading into half-time was one-sided.
We'll talk about it later. But, yeah, it was just... It just seems like Des, he has no confidence in what he's doing there with his players. And I know they all love Des and stuff. It's good to love Des and that, but you've got to go out there and play for your fans and stuff. Like,
Should Des stay?
I don't think so. Now, look, I love Des Hasler. I've always enjoyed the way that he's coached and that, but there just seems something to be amiss there with the players and stuff. Even James Graham. James Graham looks like he needs a rest or he's not buying.
He and Aidan Tolman, two great defenders who have been terrific for that club, get run through.
Yes.
In for that first try under the post.
That's not how
I can't remember. I don't think I've ever seen that.
No.
No.
You know?
By a Bulldogs team previously, you know. That's, yeah. They've been built on defence. They're always so stout and so resolute. And
since that game, a few people have come out. Greg Alexander has said it's time for him to go.
Something's got to change.
In commentary on Fox Sports, I heard Brett Morley talk about the same thing. Braithen Astor saying they're clearly not happy.
Yes.
So when everybody's saying it, does perception become reality now? I mean, how difficult is it, even though we know there's the 2-year extension? You've been saying there's talk and smoke around Des still. That's got to be flames now rather than just smoke, isn't it?
Oh, for sure, Tone. Look, there's an element of the Bulldogs, and they might not necessarily all see. You got the football club board at the Bulldogs, and you got the leagues club board. Now, the leagues club board has a lot of influential people on it. They write the checks for the football side. Bulldogs footy side, Tone, I think they spend between $23 and $25 million a year on their football side. That is amongst the absolute best of the best in the NRL. The Brisbane Broncos might be the only other side that would maybe get near that, perhaps the Melbourne Storm.
Yeah.
So they spend a hell of a lot of dough. And the issue is you've got elements of the leagues club board and also retired champion players who are frustrated and at their wit's end with Des and the way that Des wants to coach the side. And so they have been agitating behind the scenes for a long, long time. If you go back to last year, Tone, Turvey Mortimer resigned
from
the football club board in protest because he said, enough's enough, we need to go in a different direction.
So
there is a big belief amongst people who have grown up in the famous Dogs of War culture and the blue and white fold, and they won premierships there, 84, 85, 88. They think it's time for a change. Whether they can force that into the football club boardroom and make those directors act, well, that's what we're waiting to see. I spoke to their chairman, Ray Dibb, last week. He said they're going to do a full review at the end of the season. So they're waiting till the very, very end. Oh, I think it's still up in the air whether Des is there or not next year.
Yeah, because, mate, he's got Aaron Woods, obviously. Supposedly Aaron Woods and Kieran coming. So maybe just part of that border element thing, mate, wait till see how he goes with them first.
Is he going to get Aaron Woods? I mean, isn't there the hint of maybe that Aaron Woods, he likes his coaching?
Really?
I think it's more the fact that the Bulldogs are in this salary cap jam.
Yep.
And so I think the West Tigers have actually instigated. I think they've sort of perhaps quietly said to Aaron Woods, listen, you know, how you're feeling? Are you enjoying your time? Which obviously he was quoted in the paper the other week saying that he's been, you know, really enjoyed playing under Ivan and would have been great if Ivan was perhaps there a little earlier than when he actually signed on back in April. So, yeah, look.
Is he back on the bus?
Well, he could be back on the bus.
He might be at the bus stop. Waiting to get back on the bus.
Exactly.
Or not.
I think it depends. A lot's going to depend on the Bulldogs. There's also a belief that perhaps some people at the Bulldogs are saying, well, you know, we're in this jam. Do we want both Aaron Woods and Kieran Foran? Or perhaps we take Kieran and they might let Aaron stay. So I think there's still a little bit to play out there, but certainly, yeah, there's a little bit of noise around there too, Tone.
Okay, just checking my emails to see if I have anything from Brad McNamara, executive producer of this show and rugby league here, about the team drinks.
Oh, I didn't know you subscribed to that magazine.
do you want me to get you a start? I've got a bit
I don't want you to get me a start. Okay. No,
mate, Wendell can get your room and everything.
I just want to know why.
Yeah. No, I actually can't. I just want to know. I'm not this weekend. I'm not happy about it either.
Well, my relative value in this group of people as a team. That's all.
It's an oversight.
Yeah.
You came to the last. Remember we had one earlier in the year?
Yeah, you're a bit precious.
I was best on ground.
Maybe that's why.
I was best on
ground. You and I rolled this.
Yes, maybe.
You and I rolled the arms.
Everyone's happy
early
to,
tone.
Everyone's
I was having a schooner, you were having a shardy.
Everyone's happy to go down in and have a schooner, exactly, but you had to stand there with your expensive bottle of wine. You're not cost effective.
Another bottle of Grange, thanks.
Saturday Triple M NRL for Brighton's Lawyers, protecting your future. Kings of Leon, Sex on Fire. This is Saturday Triple M NRL as Triple M rocks the footy, all heading, of course, to 3 o'clock kickoff. It is Newcastle taking on the New Zealand Warriors. Sterlo will join us at 2:30, and thanks to Aveco Trucks, we'll preview the game from them. Anything else that is moving in the beautiful world of the NRL? And speaking of moving in that beautiful world, the dressing room in for the Bulldogs, not a happy place anyway after a loss, but then we read the story of a Dogs fan who was in the rooms and decided to give David Clemmer a little bit of advice about the way he's playing his footy. Clem wasn't completely happy with the advice and didn't get to argy-bargy, but it got to, apparently, looking daggers, certainly, at each other. Now, from what I read today, according to the bloke who was in the rooms and admits that he did, he's a Canterbury member, he said, people said I shouldn't have said it, but I was just talking footy. This is about telling David Clemmer that perhaps he should employ an offload. He's playing great footy, running, you know, full pelton of other blokes, do that beautifully, maybe thinking about an offload. So I was telling him he was doing really good and making a lot of metres, and I said in the conversation that it would be nice to develop an offload. He said it was wet, and I said it was, but I said, overall, if you can add an offload, it would be more dangerous. And after that, he was immediately more dangerous. And look at this bloke.
The eyes started rolling, did they?
They started rolling. What do you make of that when somebody comes into your dressing room? Now, I've been to dressing rooms in many sports, and you're a guest in somebody else's house there, and it's a very specific and particular one. In my eyes, you basically keep out.
And that's why we used to always ask, not to have people in the dressing sheds after games. I mean, obviously, it's good to get some kids in there every now and again, but you find that, especially a lot of the corporates, you know, they've been up there, they've been on the booze the whole game, and it's not always a nice place, especially after, you know, four losses or how many ever losses the Bulldogs have had in a row and the form in which they're in. David Clemmer, obviously, I think he's been one of their form players this year. You don't know whether he has an offload and whether he's just not, you know, able to use it at the moment. It's not style that they're playing. They certainly don't have an offload in their game plan at the moment, it wouldn't seem. They like to pass a lot before the line. So, yeah, I think it's a little bit unfair to go in there and point your guns at a certain guy that's been busting his ass. And I think that's, I think you're out of line and you know, you shouldn't be having people in the sheds after the games, especially, you know, if they've had a couple of beers and they feel like, you know, giving you some advice.
See, I reckon you can have people in the sheds after the game, Gerds, but I think they need to be respectful. Everyone's entitled to their opinion, but...
Who polices that, Hoop?
You have to be respectful. Well, it needs to be the club.
Yeah, but...
If you're going to let people in, it's your inner sanctum.
Yeah, no, but you're a player. You've just been on the field, and you've got to deal with results.
I'm not saying the players have to do it. I'm saying the club.
Yeah, but they're not
the CEO, the board, right? They've got to be in there. They've got to know who's coming in. And who's not
this
coming?
This guy might be like a decent fella than one of their corporates. He might be an okay guy that just had a few too many beers and then just got out of hand.
He might not have even had a beer.
That's exactly right. He's a passionate fan. You know, he's a paying member. He's watching his team lose games. I don't agree with it. Like, mate, at the end of the day, mate, after a loss, and, mate, when you're in the dressing room, win a game, everyone's happy in that, and like, you know, but mate, he'd obviously be very frustrated, David Clemmer, because it consistently this year, he's been probably New South Wales' best. He's tried hard for the Dogs. He's just frustrated. He probably doesn't need old mate telling him what he needs.
You know what he is, this guy? He's probably a parking cop that just cops it all day at work himself and wanted to get in there and give it to someone else.
I'll say this about David Clemmer. Yeah. I'm lucky enough I've had a little bit to do with him because he's been in the New South Wales setup for a long time. He is a ripping bloke. Yeah. He's a great bloke. He's a man's man, and I don't think that he has done anything wrong in this.
No.
In terms of your corporate idea, I think it is great that people are allowed to go in the dressing room. I mean, that happens in the AFL as well. Often it happens before the game. But, you know, you're screened off.
Well, normally they are.
But it's a privilege, Tony. It absolutely is a privilege. It's for, you know, what your support of the club, you get something back. Now, usually in post-game, you know, you don't have immediate access one-on-one to players, but you can, you know, watch there while they're sitting around either being happy or unhappy. And as the day goes on, if in cricket we've all been back into an Australian dressing room, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you do get in their faces and get kicked out. But that's fine, that's just me. Do you think, though, have you had those kinds of interactions with fans at all?
Yeah.
Or at City Rowers in the day, eh? No, when the big dog used to get in there with the drink cards.
I used to love City Rowers. When I've been out, you know, you get guys telling you. Back in the day.
I think it's shut down.
You have guys telling you how you should play, what you should do better, and then... mate, I'm just like, you're with a couple of mates or something, or, you know, back then I was with my missus, and then, like people are giving me advice, which I respect the fans can have their opinion and their say, but when a bloke's there telling me how to play, I just go, oh, that's right, mate, you played tonight, didn't you? That's right, you know, but that's what I do, and I understand that you're a fan. But don't try and tell me how to play, mate. I'm there because, you know.
I'm cool with it, Tony. Yeah. Like, I mean, if I go back to the club and I'm in that environment and they've all had a couple of beers and there's guys that want to have a little bit of a shot or do whatever, you deal with that in the situation.
Yeah.
But not when it's in, not in my environment, not in the dressing sheds after the game. That's where it's unacceptable.
Yeah.
If I'm out in public and people want to do what, you know, they want to say what they think, we love the fans of the game, and you can't always be in great form, and it's all part of the job description. But not in that environment. It was out of line.
Mate, one of the best bits of advice I got was Nathan Brown, his masterstroke in 2008. I'd been down Shell Harbour and come back, fractured my socket. And Nathan Brown had this masterstroke. I played a bit of back row early in my career, you know. And he said, mate, Dale, I want to play off the bench, bring you on for, you know, 15, 20 minute stints or something, defend you on the right there, you know. And I think Sonny Bill was actually supposed to play as well. And, mate, it was one of those wet games at ANZ. I think I'd missed two tackles, dropped two balls, and we're warming down at the end, and this Dragons fan just yells out, mate. He goes, oi, Sailor, what the F are you doing warming down? You did F all, you dropped two balls, you didn't make any tackles. Why the F did we buy you? We should have left you back on the bench or something. And I'm just like, all the boys are getting into Brandy too, because I hadn't played back row forever and a day. So that was the Dragons fans at ANZ, and there was like about 7,000 people there. Tops.
Yeah, and Paul McGregor went on to become coach. Plenty to come. Now remember, get your pens out. The cooler is back on later today after the glory of the cooler's efforts last week, when the horse he tipped was actually in an entire meeting that was abandoned. Not just the horse scratched, not just the race not happening, the entire meeting
Caulfield
was
gone.
Caulfield, his favourite. So I hope the cooler is in fine and as just galloping form.
He's ready.
This afternoon. He's ready to go. Saturday Triple M NRL, we do it for Bryden's Lawyers.
Triple M rocks Saturday Arvo footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
The time to rewrite history is now.
With Peter Stern, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper. Triple M rocks the footy.
Lovely to have you company on this Saturday afternoon, counting down towards that kickoff, the Newcastle Knights and the New Zealand Warriors. It is in Newcastle. Stirlo joined us at 2:30 right now, though, as a look at that Tyre Power scoreboard. The Storm and the Cowboys, a game with high expectations surrounding it. 26-8, the Storm got the job done. They just keep getting the job done each and every week, Wendell Saylor.
Yeah, look, they're so well, I suppose, coached. And that trip up there to North Queensland, they take it pretty personally because, you know, I've got a few boys there, obviously Queensland boys. Billy Slade always goes back and likes to perform. But the Cowboys, with Jonathan Thurston usually playing, you get a lot of those Queensland boys going at each other. And last night, the Cowboys, they started off really well. Melbourne Storm were a little bit off because of the, you know, the big occasion last week down in Melbourne. Short turnaround, the Sunday game there with Manly. And there was a chance of a bit of a letdown. But they're so well, so well coached. But also a couple of injuries helped. Gavin Cooper has been rock solid for the Cowboys for a couple of years there. And also Antonio Winterstein. I'm not sure what he was doing. I've never been able to do the splits like that. They had a couple of tough injuries. And then to put Cohen Hess on Will Chambers, I mean, I know they didn't have much, you know, leeway there, but geez, that was just a mismatch, you know. And look, I've got to say the Cowboys, they stuck in the fight for most of the game. One or two tough calls, but just, I just love what they're doing, not just through the middle, but even out wide. Like, mate, Josh Adokar, I know Vunivalu, I'm a massive fan, but when you've got blokes who can finish off like that, and you watch those blokes in and around the middle, there was one play there in the second half where Billy Slater, they know each other so well, Cooper Cronk flips around to the right-hand side, and he flicks it through his legs like tunnel ball.
Yeah.
Will Chambers gets it, puts the grubber in, goes in goal, repeat set. So unfortunately for the Cowboys, as hard as they tried, the scoreline probably blew out a little bit.
Yeah, in the end it did, but they did. They were in there. We were quick to write. Well, I was anyway. They write off the Cowboys once Jonathan Thurston was no longer there. Paul Green has done a great job with that mob, though, hasn't he?
Amazing job. And so was, you know, the key core senior group there. Yeah. You know, we Tom Malolo. I mean, everyone.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, the last couple, everyone thought, how can he, you know, get better than he was in 2016? You know, he was obviously Dally M medalist and. Was it he signed a big contract? Yes. Was he going to get comfortable? What was his attitude going to be like? And I mean, he's just gone from strength to strength this year. And I think probably the fact that, you know, JT's not there has allowed a lot of these players to come and blossom now. And look at Michael Morgan. Oh, I think he's been sitting in the shadow of JT for so long. And I'm sure he loves playing with him. But the fact that he's now got the opportunity to go out and be the dominant playmaker, he's reveling in it, you know. And Lachlan Coote, another guy that, you know, always does his best week in, week out and has gone to another level. And look at guys like Ethan Lowe, who was on the bench at the start of the year. Look, they were really good last night, the Cowboys. They really missed. I don't like to blame sort of injuries on performance, but or performance on injuries, but the fact that they lost two guys within 10 minutes, yep, and you all of a sudden you're down to 15 players against the best team in the competition, it really affects the outcome. And it did last night. You know, they had to scramble with players in different positions. And look, Melbourne identified that. If you've got a weakness anywhere, if someone, you know, if they're going to play to a side's weakness based on something that's just happened in the game and you need to change your game plan, there's no other team that does it like Melbourne's Storm. They would have seen Hess out there and said, here we go.
Yeah.
And they did that, and they did enough to win the game. Melbourne weren't great. I thought, you know, Cowboys were brave, but we've got to be looking at the premiers, don't we? Oh, I mean, who's going to beat them?
They're such a champion side. The scary thing is, Tone, they made the grand final last year. They're playing better now.
Yeah.
Oh, they are playing better Munster football comes back now. In too. Yeah. Munster didn't play last night.
Yeah. Yep.
It's frightening. It really is. So, look, is there anyone, boys, who can possibly...
I think the Roosters can. I think the Roosters on their day.
Well, we're about to find out because they play them next week.
But everyone on deck. But that's good. If everyone's back on deck, I just... Because the Roosters showed me enough last week when they were down 16-6 against the Cowboys that they can find something. They weren't even in that game. You know, the possession squared up a little bit. And then they just found something there.
Did they tell you what? That'd be a huge story as well, isn't the Roosters coming from their last season if they were to go through and win a premiership.
Gerds, can anyone beat Melbourne?
It's hard to say because there's going to be so many things that happen between now and then.
Yep. But,
you know, if they both go into the game and play their best, I think Melbourne have just got too many quality players.
What about
players.
The Sharks?
Sharks
have
got to believe.
Sharks
have got to
start to. When Maloney comes back, we saw in that grand final last year, Cronulla's style can upset Melbourne.
Yeah,
but it can.
But going back to back, it's not just about, you know, getting to the big dance and winning. It's actually about... It's the journey on the way there and having the desire to actually go back to back and do you want it as much? And everyone says they do, but if you're just 1% off and you don't have the desire that you showed the year before in what it takes to win, and look at Melbourne, when's the last time they won a competition?
Yeah.
Well, look at the Roosters. When's the last time they won? These guys are burning. I mean, they got young guys that haven't won a premiership.
And they're stinging from losing last year.
But isn't that the harder bit of that, the early part of the season, the middle part where it just seems so long? Once they get into those finals, if Sharkies get into the top four, they've done an amazing job for the premiers. So once they're there in that top four and the finals start around, do they really lose percent?
I remember we came up the year after against the Bulldogs to make the grand final.
Yeah, I remember this game in 4. Yeah.
And
were you in front? Did you come out? We led in that game.
I think in the first half, you know, we got off to a really good lead and we had a couple of injuries, but we really believed that we could win, we could go back to back. We thought we had the best team in the competition at the time, and obviously winning the year before, you justify that belief. And so we went in thinking we could do it again, but it just came down to those moments in that major semi-final where the Bulldogs wanted it more than us because we'd already tasted it, because we had it.
Yep.
And I can't help but think about those moments now with regret and think, if only we would have, you know, got ourselves together and identified that moment. And we didn't know what it was at the time, but and a few years later, it kind of sinks in. It's like, you know what it was? In that moment, in that major semi, the Doggies won it. They went on to win the comp that year because it had been how long since they won a comp? And it was their time. And I just think, you know, that's what's so hard to go back to back.
All right. Look, we're going to get more to come in the next couple of hours before kickoff in this game we're covering right here, including we were going to play some Paul Green audio from him talking about the referees. I'm going to save that up and just have a little chat about the coaches and referees and how we are travelling there. We want to look at the Eels as well. They are a really good story for this season. How far can they go? As we said, Sturlo and the cooler, the stock market, and a bit of the footy voice all ahead on Saturday, Triple M NRL for Brighton's Lawyers.
Triple M rocks the NRL for Brighton's Lawyers, protecting your future.